Minds Over Matter, Bay Area's favorite quiz show with your host, Dana Rodriguez, an all-educator evening with guest panelists Lori Fisher and Pauline Teichman. Stay tuned. Here's your panelist, moderator, and raconteur, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you had a very pleasant week, and will join us over the course of the next hour. So please give us 60 minutes of your time tonight. I think you may be rewarded. You may not, but you may be rewarded for the investment in our show. Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So above all, we need your participation. That's very important. The number is 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Our lines are totally open right now. It's a great time to call. If you have a question for us, if you'd like to wait for one of our questions, just give us a couple of minutes. But right now, the lines are open at 415-841-4134. We'll be taking your questions, and hopefully you'll be giving us questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, and just about everything else. So we're going to start with a round of introductions. I do want to remind you that Minds Over Matter is our email address. So if you just go to mindsovermatter@yahoo.com, we'd love to hear from you. It's always a great pleasure to hear from any of our listeners. Somebody did email this week and said that they bought a copy of Jerry's book. Of course, he's not here to hear that, but they did buy a copy. So there's one down. So go to mindsovermatter@yahoo.com to send us an email. We don't read them during the show, but over the course of the week. Also, if you'd like to hear our show online, you can hear it anywhere in the civilized world at kalw.org. That's kalw.org. Likewise, if you go to kalw.org, you can get instructions on how to get a podcast of one of our shows. We welcome all new listeners even that way. So that is us. As I said, we're going to begin with a round of introductions and a round of questions. And here's the first. Lori Fisher invites all of his students to take a break, relax, tune in to Minds Over Matter, display their brilliance by calling in with answers, perhaps even correct ones, and then at 8:01, get back to work on their essays. There is much to be done before Tuesday. Is there a general essay topic that you've assigned?
Yes. They're writing an essay about eating and the omnivore's dilemma.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, all right. Looking forward to those. Honest, I am. Pauline Teichman had a lovely time listening to Nancy Coleman and Paloma at the Plow and Stars this afternoon and is feeling decidedly relaxed.
Absolutely. Our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, saw two people talking on their cell phones on the S-curve tonight. Apparently, their lives lack excitement.
So, that is us, and we'll begin the questioning with Lori Fisher.
All right, so I asked a question before about the first lines of novels. I'm going to the ends of the books now to get last lines of novels. I have five of them, pretty short. He was soon borne away by the waves and lost in darkness and distance. He was soon borne away by the waves and lost in darkness and distance is the first. Yes, she thought, laying down her brush in extreme fatigue. I have had my vision. That's the second one. Third one. He heard the ring of steel against steel as a far door clanged shut. And the fourth and fifth one are very short and a little odd. Number four is, ah, runs, runs. And the final one is, away, alone, a last, a loved, a long, the. Those are the five.
Last one's not Ulysses, is it?
It is not.
All right. Okay, why don't you go over the whole thing?
Okay. These are last lines of well-known novels. He was soon borne away by the waves and lost in darkness and distance. That's the first. Yes, she thought, laying down her brush in extreme fatigue, I have had my vision. Number three, as he heard the ring of steel against steel as a far door clang shut. Number four is, ah, runs, runs. And the final is, away, alone, a last, a loved, a long, the.
The first one sounds, although I don't think it is now, and the more that I think about it, the less confidence I have, a little bit like The Great Gatsby. But
Gatsby has that famous line, we beat on boats against the current. So it does have a little bit of that feel to it, but that's not Gatsby.
All right.
Sounds like a Stephen Crane thing or something.
All right. So
on the ground, sir.
Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. The one about I've had my vision. It's a Virginia Woolf novel. Could it be Between the Acts?
It is a Virginia Woolf novel, but it's not that
How about A Room of One's Own?
It's not that one either.
To the Lighthouse.
It is To the Lighthouse. Uh-huh. Very nice. Good teamwork, everybody.
There we go. Narrowed it
Did you have another one?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure.
Go ahead.
I got a list of the Bay Area's 6 worst invasive weeds.
Oh, my.
Can you guess them?
6 worst.
How about the eucalyptus tree?
That'd be a good one, but it's not on the list.
Oh, it should be. It's a horrible weed. Don't send letters.
Isn't crabgrass an invasive weed?
Apparently. Well, it's not on the list.
It's just it is in my yard, I'll tell you that.
Who compiled the list?
It's an Erhardagrass.
Is this an official
cord? Cordgrass.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice. Cordgrass.
Right. I remember reading about that. Okay. I can't think of it. Well, I know. Is there a thistle? Is there a thistle plant in there?
It's not on here.
No thistle.
Dandelions.
Everybody has those.
I know, but they're invasive.
One person's weed is another person's flower.
That's true.
Well, in that case, we could say cannabis.
My rose bush.
Are any of these flowering weeds?
Well, they all have some kind of flower in you.
Okay. No. I think that's as far as we can go.
I have no more weeds.
Off the air, maybe people calling?
Sure. We'll put you on hold.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. In the meantime, Pauline, why don't you do a question?
Okay, yeah. I'm going to give you 5 nicknames of cities in the U.S. if you can tell me what the actual city is. So, Charm City, Convention City, Emerald City, Graveyard of the Atlantic, and Mistake on the Lake.
Right.
I think I'm going to hold you guys to one each, because otherise you're going to go through all of them.
Well, I have to say Convention City's Las Vegas.
No.
Nope. That's my one.
The old Convention City, and I don't know if this holds anymore. It used to be Atlantic was either Atlantic City or Newark.
No.
All right. The Mistake on the Lake's Cleveland.
It is.
All right.
So you've got yours. No more
right.
for you.
Sounds like you've been there.
no, but I happen to know somebody very well who is from there. So, and I kid him about that. And
okay. So
why don't you repeat the one?
Okay, so Charm City, Convention City, Emerald City, and Graveyard of the Atlantic are the 4 that are left.
All right. You met Greg last week. He's from Cleveland.
Right. Oh, he's from Cleveland.
Yes. I had a feeling.
He looks no worse the wear for it.
Well, he left early. That's probably why. okay. Can we go to a call, David? Okay. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. I had to the Lighthouse, but you robbed me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, sorry.
He's such a thief.
Is the last one a Kurt Vonnegut?
No, it's not. It sounds a little like Vonnegut, but it's not. Way before him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have to think about that one a little longer. Convention City, is that Dallas?
No, it's not Dallas. I guess a lot of places have conventions, but this is the official name.
I've heard it called that, but I didn't, you know.
Sounds like something the Better Business Bureau came up with.
I wouldn't doubt it. The invasive weed list, I'm sure that acacia has got to be one of them.
Oh.
You could be right. No? Oh, no. Sorry.
Certainly gives a lot of people allergies.
There's something suspect about that list. How about Scotch Broom?
Yes.
All right.
On the list we were given, it's called French Broom, but I suppose it's all the same.
I think it is Scotch Broom because a Scotsman brought it here.
All right.
I want some international incident over this, by the way.
Thank you very much.
I've got a question.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
It's a two-parter about Tycho Brahe, the astronomer.
Mm-hmm.
There were 2 striking things about him, one visual to his appearance and the other about where he worked. Do you know what they were?
Could you give the name once more? I didn't quite hear it.
Tycho Brahe. He was the great Danish astronomer and someone who Johannes Kepler totally admired and worked for. if that helps at all.
Doesn't help me that much. Anybody?
So, I know nothing.
What were the two questions once more?
So
about, I mean, what questions about his him in particular?
He was a very larger-than-life guy during his day and was considered the greatest astronomer of his day. He had two striking things about him, though, particularly. One was his appearance. There was something about his appearance. It was very different.
Did he have bright red hair?
No. I'll give you some help with that one. It's not natural.
Oh. Huh?
Did he wear a
like a
wig?
Glass eye?
Did he wear a wig or have a peg leg?
No. No. Wasn't that...
Was it?
This is really unusual. Really?
Go ahead and give us the answer.
He had a tail.
Do you want me to tell you the answer off air?
Tell us.
Okay. He had a silver septum, which means he had a false nose. It was made out of silver.
Oh.
And that wasn't natural,
huh?
Interesting.
And the royalty of Denmark built him a castle to do his work in on an island, and they called it Uraniumborg, Castle in the Sky. That's what it meant.
Interesting.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, so that's kind of a cool guy.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight is teacher Lori Fisher, teacher at Diamond Valley College, teacher at the French School in Berkeley, Pauline Teichman, also a photographer. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM, KALW, your local public radio station. All right, so I believe it's my turn here. Who was the last American president who was neither a Democrat nor a Republican? Mm-hmm. One guess.
But did Theodore Roosevelt win as the
bull
moose?
He ran as a bull moose, but that was after he was president. So who was the last president?
Okay.
Who was the last American president who was neither a Democrat nor a Republican?
So we have to go
up, more back.
So it's much
yeah,
older.
Yeah, don't go up.
Yeah.
That's what I meant by back.
So
up the list.
All right.
I'll go to the go-to guy in presidential questions. I don't know, Millard Fillmore.
That's correct.
All right.
That's always the right answer when you
he's
can't
the default answer.
Else.
That's
yeah.
correct.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. Second question. Where would you find the Thousand Islands after which the salad dressing is named? Where in the world would you find the Thousand Islands after which the salad dressing is named?
Let's go to Fiji.
Fiji? Pauline
does
Fiji, no?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. All right.
Okay, well, I'll just throw in Indonesia because they have a lot of islands.
Nope. So once more, where would you find the Thousand Islands after which the salad dressing
they have to have a lot of ketchup and mayonnaise there. That would be its distinguishing characteristic.
No? Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds of a Matter.
Hey, Kevin, Los Angeles.
Hi,
here.
Kevin.
Real quick, I'm going to take a guess on Convention City.
Yes.
Atlanta?
That's not what I have, but they all sound good to me.
Yes.
It only had one because some of them had several places with the same nickname, but this one, they only had one listed, so.
Okay. Well, I'm sure they think of themselves as that, and Las Vegas thinks of themselves as that.
Right.
Okay, so I got a question or two for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
There's one movie that whenever I stumble across it on TV, I can watch it right to the end, and I always, there's several movies like that, but one of them for me is like 12 Angry Men. So I've seen the ending of that movie probably 100 times. At the very end of the movie, the two jurors reveal their names to one another. What are their names?
My name is, he says, the older man introduces himself to Henry Fonda. My name is... I remember the actress who played. Well, of course, Henry Fonda. And Joseph Sweeney. It's not Smith, is it, by any chance?
No.
One
of the names is as regular as Smith.
I thought
one of the names is not as regular.
Is Jones one?
No.
Yeah, okay. That was, I had Smith and Jones in mind, but neither
one. My name is... his first name's not Pete, is it? No.
No, just their last name.
All right, I think you're right. No, I can't remember. I'm sorry.
Okay. The Henry Fonda character, his name is Davis. And the old man, his name is McArdle.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good job.
So,
never would have gotten it.
That's the 1957 version.
Right.
Now, Robert Cummins played in the 1954 version, and Jack Lemmon in the 1997 version, he played Davis. Who played McArdle in those two versions?
So in 54, and what was the later one?
57 is the movie version, and then the TV version is the one with Robert Cummings, right?
Yeah.
And then the Jack Lemmon version is...
the TV version, 97.
Right. Did Joseph Sweeney play the old man in the TV version, too?
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
And then who was an old man of that relative age in 1997 who was pretty famous and popular at the time? Then you'll have the answer.
Was it somebody who had played a different role in the earlier version?
No.
All right. Oh, man. No, I would need a hint, I think.
It's Hugh McKernan.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's a great hint, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, very good hint.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. Good to hear from you. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
This is Gareth from San Mateo.
Hello.
Got a couple of corrections and a couple of questions. Okay. There was a guy who called last week about what outside musician played on the Beatles record. It wasn't the guy who played on You Gotta Hide Your Love Away. It was the Andy White who played on the first version of Love Me Do.
Okay.
Yeah, in fact, the version, because that features him on drums and Ringo on tambourine, but the version that band number one would actually feature Ringo on tambourine. I mean, drums.
All right.
And here's my second correction. You said that Peggy Lee wrote Beaver. I thought it was written by Will Willie John.
I did not say that. Jerry may have said that, or one of our listeners may, or one of our callers may have said that, but I did not say that.
I'm pretty sure it was Will Willie John.
Okay.
I got one question for Pauline.
Yes.
A few weeks ago, you were saying, who sang your bad one, Mr. Grinch and How the Grinch Stole Christmas?
Yes.
Who was the voice of Cindy Lou?
Oh, that's a very good question. Let's see if I have it. I'm looking on my sheet.
She was a voice over on a famous cartoon show.
She was the voice on a famous cartoon show. Was she? Did she play the Jetsons' daughter?
No, that wasn't Jan Waldo. I'll give you a clue. It had Bullwinkle.
Oh, June Foray?
Right. You gave yourself a bell.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Very nice.
Now here's my other question. One of Dionne Warwick's biggest hits was I Say a Little Prayer for You. The flip side was Fever of the Valley of the Dolls. Now, what was unusual that was reached number two? What was unusual about that song?
About the flip side?
About the theme for the Valley of the Dolls?
Yeah.
What was unusual about that?
Well, musically or who wrote it kind
musically,
of thing?
Yeah, who composed it? That was the most unusual part.
How about Roger Ebert?
No.
He wrote the screenplay, actually.
No, he did it for the Beyond the Valley of the Dolls.
Oh, the sequel, you're right.
The guy who wrote the theme was later became an orchestra conductor.
John Williams?
No. Well, you're close. John Williams scored the film, but the guy who actually composed the song with his wife.
Ooh.
It's a real tough one.
No.
Is he well known as a composer?
He served in the U.S. Army in the Presidio. I might give it away.
Not to us, no. You better give it to us.
Give up. It's Sir Andre Previn.
Oh, really? Oh, interesting.
And his wife, Dory Langdon.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Who became
Thanks
Dory
a lot.
Previn. Yeah. That's really good.
Well, there were a lot of wives who was on there.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. And the number to join us is 415-841-4134, 415-841-4134. Lori, it's your turn.
Well, this question is kind of a reaction to college football and all the mascots who are things like Razorbacks and Eagles and Bulldogs. I have a series of colleges which have less fierce mascots.
This is as close as we like to get to sports questions, by the way.
I think the mascots are general to the school, to the academic program as well. So they're all well-known, beloved colleges. We all know people who've gone there. UC Santa Cruz, Franklin and Marshall's the second one, Penn, University of Pennsylvania, Vassar, which surprised me that they had a mascot, Swarthmore, Colby College, and Dana gave me this one just as we got on, Whittier. So what they have in common is kind of unfierce mascots. In fact, they're the anti-sports kind of mascots. So UC Santa Cruz, Franklin and Marshall, Penn, Vassar, Swarthmore, Colby College, and Whittier. And our alum, if you guys don't get them, our alums in the audience will be flooding the lines.
UC Santa Cruz are the banana slugs.
That's correct.
Yeah, that I know. Okay,
so that's about all you should get.
All right.
Yeah.
The only one I can...
That's the only one you knew?
Yes.
All right. Well, leave the rest out there.
Right. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi. This is Judy in Berkeley.
Hi,
and
Judy.
I was going to say to the Lighthouse, but of course other people said that.
That's
so well.
The people have
character,
yeah.
Lily Briscoe. Let me try some geography here. Are the Thousand Islands in the St. Lawrence Seaway? Between Canada and the U.S.?
Oh, you're so close. Mm. You're so very, very close that
is
I...
Is it like the Finger Lakes?
Would you like to name a body of water other than the St. Lawrence Seaway that's awfully close to that?
Lake Ontario.
That's correct.
Oh.
There you go.
Because I thought when I was there, I saw signs for the Thousand
Islands.
Yeah. And I went to Expo 67, which is big.
Right.
And how many islands are actually there?
There are more than
1,000.
Well,
I didn't have time to count.
but yes, the Thousand Islands after which the salad dressing you named are in Lake Ontario.
Okay.
That makes sense.
And I heard when we vacationed there many, many years ago that the Outer Banks of North Carolina were called the graveyard of the Atlantic.
Absolutely. Cape Hatteras, North Carolina. You're
right. But that's not a city.
Well, Cape Hatteras.
It ain't a city. I've been.
Well, they had it listed.
Okay. Well, no, I shouldn't call with you. You gave me a bell.
No, you're right.
Good night.
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate that.
I wasn't thinking about that when I looked at the answers, but I see.
And Pauline, it's your turn.
Okay. So let's see. Who used the stage name Elston Gunn early in his career?
Could you spell that, please?
Elston, E-L-S-T-O-N, and then Gunn, G-U-N-N.
And it was to be on the legitimate stage, not... Were they a movie star, too?
No.
Why would we know this person?
They're very well known.
As a stage person?
Well, on the stage, not as an actor, but on the stage as a singer.
And
stage name, is it?
And was this to disguise his or her identity? Well, his identity for a while. Why he evolved into some?
I'm not sure about that. But you know, people use stage names.
So I'm sorry,
this was an early one.
Just to clarify, they're not well known as an actor, but they're well known on the stage as a singer.
They're extremely well known.
So it
meant stage name as in the name they went by, as opposed to their given name or a later performance.
So how about
name?
Al Jolson?
No.
Okay. But somebody like that who might have performed
somebody,
under another name.
Somebody who's still alive?
Yes.
Oh. As a singer. As a rock singer?
Yeah.
Probably, huh?
Not exactly.
For the audience, Pauline gave kind of a look there.
Elston Gunn.
All kinds. I mean...
Elton John?
No.
Ooh.
All right.
But that's it's not the person by any means, but it's the right way of thinking. It's
okay. All right.
Somebody contemporary, somebody.
And is there anything we should work with in the sound there? Like Elston becoming Elton, would that help?
No.
Yeah, okay.
Didn't help me.
No.
All right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is David from Berkeley.
Hi, David.
Hi, I have some guesses about invasive weeds.
All right.
My number one most hated invasive weed would be pampas grass.
It is pampas.
Yeah, we don't like pomposity either.
Is that on the list?
No.
Oh, darn. Well, boy, you see from the freeway all the time. My number two favorite one, or least favorite, would be Himalayan blackberry.
Wow.
That is correct.
Wow. Another
good
bell.
And then my number three guess would be vinca, which is also called periwinkle.
No, I had that in my yard, but I wouldn't call that. Well, it's if you let it, if you don't pay attention to it, it'll get a little invasive. But yeah,
but it's not on the list.
No.
And how about strangler vine, which is also called what is it called? Morning glory.
That was a wrestler I once saw. no, according to our list, no.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
That was an early TV, Strangler Vine Wrestling.
Killer Kowalski, yeah. I think he lost him a number of times.
So this was actually in the news this week. What famous historical figure from early in American history was made an honorary U.S. citizen last week?
Hmm.
What famous historical figure from early in American history was made an honorary U.S. citizen last week by formal act of Congress and signed by President Obama? That's a very high honor, by the way, and very few people have achieved it. Yeah. Yes.
Is this person living?
No, it's like
one of our
founding fathers kind of thing, or mothers, or founding people.
So what famous historical figure from early in American history was made an honorary United States citizen last week by act of Congress and signed by President Obama?
This person have had a lobby behind him or her to...
May have had some push behind it, yeah.
Or is there something in the contemporary news that would link this person to that, something going on? So it's just a good deed done.
No, a good deed done, yeah. Writing a... I mean, this person was... There wasn't any... It wasn't a... Like, they were accused of something and it turned out not to be true. It just... No, this person was always a heroic figure. And they were just made an honorary United States citizen.
Can we know male versus female?
It was a male.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, hi. I called to suggest a weed in the Bay Area.
Yes.
That's ever present. If it's not on your list, you have to throw the list out. Called oxalis.
That is correct.
Okay.
Good job.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yes, hello. This is Karen and Robert in Bernal Heights.
Hello.
Someone just beat us to the oxalis guess. We certainly combat that in our backyard. We think that Charm City is Baltimore.
Yes, it is, where lived for quite a while. Absolutely.
And Emerald City, could that be Seattle or Portland?
Oh, right, because it's green. It rains a lot.
It is Seattle. Yes.
Good job.
All right. Excellent. I think we're knocking them out.
Charm City's Baltimore.
I think those were our guesses, unless Robert has any others. But I have a question for you, folks.
All right.
These three individuals all have something in common, and I want you to tell me what that is. Joe Rosenthal, John Philo, and Richard Drew.
Joe Rosenthal, wasn't he a photographer for Life magazine or a famous photographer?
Yes. And what is he most known for?
He photographed...
Oh, he's the Iwo Jima.
Iwo Jima, right. The flag raising on Iwo Jima.
Excellent. What image is John Philo most known for?
John Philo.
Was he also a photojournalist?
Yes.
Did he take the famous picture of Rosa Parks?
No.
Okay.
Is it also related to World War II?
No.
Okay. Can you tell us in what sort of general area?
I think in the late 1960s.
Is the thing that links them not the photograph, but the photographs were all restaged and the famous version's different than the...
They're iconic. Iconic photographs. Iconic American photograph.
There's so many things that went on in the late 60s. It's, I don't know. Sure. Go to the last one here.
Richard Drew, D-R-E-W.
And again, he's the late 60s?
No, this would be just in the last decade.
Hmm. And, all right. I don't think I can... Anybody? No.
Is the Philo picture from Vietnam?
No.
Okay.
You were thinking of the running girl.
I was.
Mm-hmm. Anything to do with any of the assassinations?
No.
No, then. I don't think we can go any further.
Okay. John Philo took the image of the young woman at Kent State. Oh, jeez. Kneeling after college professor had been shot.
Right.
And Richard Drew was the photographer who captured the fatal descent of a solitary figure from a high floor of the World Trade Center.
Oh my gosh.
All right.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
And then I'll leave you with one that you all know. What is probably Dorothea Lange's most well-known image?
The migrant mother.
Very good. Leave on a positive note.
All right.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And Laurie, I think it's your turn.
Okay. Well, I don't think this is literature, but it sure is close. I have a question about Archie comic books.
They've been
in the news. Oh, well, good. You'll know this.
I might not, though.
Well, we'll see. I want to know if you know the last names of the stars of the Archie comic books. So there's Archie, Betty, Veronica, Reggie, and for Jughead, I'd also like to know his first name.
You only get one or two.
So it's Archie, Betty, Veronica, Reggie, and then Jughead's entire name. And then I'll throw in, for no extra charge, what high school they went to.
I know Jughead is Jones, but I can't
Riverdale.
Remember his.
They did. Riverdale High School. Very nice.
I confess I really did not read Archie. Veronica had the snooty name, and it was... No, I want to say it's... Was it Van something?
No.
No. All right, why don't you go through the whole list?
So we're looking for the last names of the stars of the Archie comic books, which includes Archie, Betty, Veronica, Reggie, and Jughead's full name, including his first name, which is kind of a fancy name, and hence the Jughead. And we got that they went to Riverdale High School, so we'll leave it out there for the audience. They'll know.
You don't have to repeat that, but do you have another question? We're about halfway through the show. Let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet.
Let's see. This is a very short question. What was the first Beatles song that gave Ringo co-writing credit? The very first. He didn't get many, but this was his first one.
All right. I know, but do you have any questions that haven't been answered yet that you want to
repeat? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I do. I have, these are the last lines of, we're down to four novels. He was soon borne away by the waves and lost in darkness and distance. Second one is, he heard the ring of steel against steel as a far door clanged shut. The third one is, runs. And the last one is, away, alone, a last, a loved, a long, the. And then, the mascot question. We're looking for Franklin and Marshall, Penn, Vassar, Swarthmore, Colby College, and Whittier College. We're looking for the mascots for their sports and academic decathlon teams. Same mascot.
Okay. All right. The list of the last lines. Could you go over those just one more time?
Sure. He was soon borne away by the waves and lost in darkness and distance. Second one is, he heard the ring of steel against steel as a far door clanged shut. Third one is, runs. And the last is, away, alone, a last, a loved, a long, the.
Is the second one Native Son?
It is. Yeah, the one where he the steel against steel, 1940, okay. Richard Wright.
Right, because he's in...
Very good.
All right. And, Pauline, what did you have out?
Okay, the only thing I have out is One City Left, which is the one that got the most play, is Convention City. And then who went in his early career by the stage name of Elston Gunn?
Well... Okay, I bet there are a lot of cities that could be called Convention City. I mean, Chicago is a guess. It's not Chicago.
No.
Okay. And, all right. What very famous historical figure, well, if you read the American history, what very famous historical figure from early in America's history was made an honorary United States citizen last week by act of Congress and signed by President Obama? What very famous historical figure from, I will say, the American Revolution, to clarify, was made an honorary U.S. citizen last week. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Liz from San Francisco.
Hello.
Hello. Unfortunately, they jumped the gun on me on Baltimore, but I do want to just make a correction about the Thousand Islands.
gosh, my family's been going there for three generations, and it is actually in the St. Lawrence River. There is one island in Lake Ontario, but generally most of it's in the St. Lawrence.
Well, I was counting that one island, so.
Right, so my family would disown me if I didn't call and correct.
All right.
But anyway, I want to guess that Lafayette is the honorary citizen.
He already is an honorary citizen, so he's previous, yes.
Did not know that. Someone else will get that. I wonder if the Borne Away by Waves is Melville's Moby Dick.
No, it's not, but it's getting close to the right era.
Okay. So those are the extent of my guesses.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Does that mean it's an American writer?
It's not. But it's a 19th century novel.
All right. And, it's not Frankenstein. No, it's not Frankenstein. Is it Frankenstein?
It is Frankenstein.
All right.
He was soon borne away by the waves and lost in darkness and distance as Frankenstein by Mary Shelley. 1818.
I wouldn't have gotten keeping it without score that at home. Big hint.
You wouldn't have gotten it. You did get it.
I wouldn't have gotten it without the moral clarification.
Okay, let's see. I'm going to ask a Dr. Seuss question. Why not? What is the book that Dr. Seuss... Name the book that Dr. Seuss wrote when he was bet that he couldn't write a book using 50 words or less.
Oh, I read that.
That's the Green Eggs and Ham.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the one. Thought. Okay.
Bennett Cerf in that. I read that story.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great...
Okay.
Who do you make the bet with? She was the other half of the question. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. What else can I ask? I've got tons of papers and nothing organized. Sorry.
All right, we'll come back to you in a minute. That's all right, we'll take a call.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Yes, hi. This is Bob and Jennifer from San Francisco.
Hi, Bob.
I have a guess for the American Revolution figure who became a citizen. Is it Pulaski?
It is Pulaski, Kazimierz Pulaski. Very good. Excellent.
Nice work.
And for the mascots, I think for Penn, it's the Quakers.
It is the Quakers. Very nice.
Good job.
That sounds pretty fierce to me.
Can I ask you one more?
Sure.
Is the convention center San Antonio, Texas?
San Antonio for convention?
Not what I have.
No.
No. Okay. And I have a question for you.
All right.
I've got three characters that all occur in the same novel. I want you to tell me which novel and what the three characters have to do with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Count Monserf, Baron Danglars, and Monsieur Villefort.
Oh, that's those are the villains, or at least a couple of them are villains in The Count of Monte Cristo.
Yes, that's
nice.
It.
Nice. Very
job.
Good.
Thank you.
All right.
You're that's killing fine. The literature questions tonight. Good.
Okay, can I?
Yeah, go ahead.
I've got one. Okay, name this composer best remembered for the pieces he wrote for the player piano.
That's the whole thing, the player piano guy?
But it's a classical composer.
Classical, as in?
Classical music.
As opposed to rock music, you
right.
mean?
Or as opposed to popular or ragtime. So, could read the question again?
Name this composer best known for the pieces he wrote for the player piano.
Best known for that, but also wrote classical.
Well, he wrote unusual pieces, but he would be considered classical, entre guillemets.
Satie?
No.
All right. David doesn't know. Yeah, I want your help. I'm looking at you. I'm talking to David. Oh.
What did he say?
Oh, David says Nan Carroll.
Absolutely.
Good job.
Way to go, David.
All right.
Okay,
I'm glad you're a musical education to go completely to waste.
So I should ask another question now. Okay. In this children's book series, a boy travels on the back of his dragon and has adventures. Name the title and the author of this book.
David?
Is it a series?
He doesn't know that.
It is part of a series. Yes, it is.
A boy travels. It's a series.
Mm-hmm.
Travels on the back of his dragon and has adventures.
I can give you the name of the dragon. That won't give it away.
How about,
not
is it a picture book or chapter
no.
book? Not okay.
Chapter book.
Chapter book. Okay. And it's a series.
It's a series.
All right. No, I have no idea.
I don't know.
No. All right. Once you get past the pokey little puppy, I don't know. And
our audience will know.
Not young children's book. It's more like kids my age group and up.
Some middle school kind of? I don't know what age.
What do you mean your age group?
like not my personal age group, but that I teach. Thank you so much.
Okay, fine. I didn't realize you still read children's books.
I do, as a matter of fact, quite a bit. Right. I love them.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
Oh, okay. I have a correction and some guesses.
Uh-oh.
All right. So give us the bad news first.
The invasive weeds?
Yes. Oh.
So...
like an invasive question.
It is. So, Scotch broom and French broom, those are two different plants.
Oh, right.
Oh, man.
And they're both invasive and they're both terrible. But and
which is worse? Is one of them worse?
So we can really get people against
this. I've heard more about Scotch broom than French broom, but of course that doesn't mean anything.
Well, they're both here.
All right.
They're both invasive.
Okay.
Then I have a couple other guesses for the invasive plants.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How many can I guess?
Well, I think we have three left on the list, right? Okay. So, yes.
So, okay, well, yellow star thistle?
No.
No, not okay. How about cheatgrass?
Cheatgrass?
Yeah.
No. We used to have that back when I was in high school.
How about German ivy?
No.
It's good.
Can I guess a few more?
Yeah.
Capeweed?
Capeweed?
Yes.
Oh, so David says if you combine two of those answers, then you'll have the right plant.
Hmm. The cheap weed grass.
Let's see, which ones have I guessed already?
Cape and what?
Oh, Cape Ivy?
Cape Ivy,
okay,
correct. There you go.
Okay, well, I got one, so I'll stop.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. What is the only major American city without a supermarket?
Oh.
Major city?
Yeah, it's a major American city. What is the only major American city that has no supermarket? At least not in a major supermarket way. Yeah.
This is a wild guess. How about New York City?
No. No.
How about Nome, Alaska?
No.
That's pretty much takes up the spectrum of cities.
So what is the only major American city without a supermarket? And I'm going to ask...
And will we understand the reason when we're
yes,
here?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, it could be religious. It could be any reasons.
But somewhere
yeah.
in Utah. But...
So what is the only major American city without a supermarket? A major supermarket, I should say.
Yeah.
All right. I've been... saving this question for just the right time, and I don't know if this is it. But I'm just gonna ask the question.
You're out of time.
What is the only Lucky Charms marshmallow that hasn't changed since the cereal's introduction?
Is it the clover leaf one?
Well, that's one of them, but it's not. That's not
that's
it.
Not the
that's
one.
Not,
that's
it.
Not it. What is the only Lucky Charms marshmallow? You know, they have different little marshmallows in them that makes up the.
I'll go with the leprechaun.
No.
Yeah.
They don't have a marshmallow in the shape of a leprechaun.
No, that's the spokes. That's their.
Know.
That's their spokesperson,
or
not spokesperson, but on the front of the box.
Does it get a marshmallow? Yeah, man.
So once more, what is the only Lucky Charms marshmallow of the different kinds they have in the box that hasn't changed since the cereal's introduction?
The rest have changed. What their shape, color, design.
They've all changed except for one.
Is it like a heart shaped one?
Yes, I'm going to give that to you. Wow. What's it? What color is it?
White.
If you know, I'll leave it out until you get that. But you get credit.
You get credit for it.
Pink heart says. Oh, there you go. That is correct. All right. So we're still looking for what major American city? What is the only major American city without a? What is the only well-known larger American city without a major supermarket? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
This is Fred Pollack from Charleston, West Virginia.
Oh, hey, hello.
Fred. And we have supermarkets here, but I would guess Honolulu?
Not Honolulu, no.
Okay. And on the invasive plants, did somebody mention kutsu?
Yeah, but we don't have a problem with that here.
You have that in West Virginia?
In the South, they do, I know.
That's the plant that ate the South.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay, and you got the Thousand Islands.
We did get the Thousand
okay,
Islands.
Okay, and I have a question. where is the Isle of Langerhorn?
Oh, it's inside the human body.
It's okay. Isn't it in your pancreas?
In the pancreas.
Yeah.
What is the pancreas when you cook it? What is it called?
Sweetbreads.
Exactly. I cannot stump you.
Well, how about this? What is the Isle of Langerhorn's do in your body? What's its function?
Well,
this guy's a doctor.
Insulin.
Oh, say it again.
Produces insulin.
That's correct. Give him a bell.
Right. Okay.
Well, you better know that.
He's a doctor.
All right. Thanks a lot. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight is Diablo Valley College teacher Lori Fisher and also teacher Pauline Teichman from the French School in Berkeley. And the number to join us is 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. And by the way, I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, hi. Chris from El Cerrito.
Hi, Chris.
A couple of guesses on the mascots. It's the Whittier Poets.
It is the Whittier Poets.
And Franklin and Marshall, is it the Amish?
It is not the Amish, but that's a good guess. They're pretty close to the Amish. Yeah.
I have a question then for another funny mascot. It's Brandeis's mascot.
Ooh.
Let me think about that for a second.
The matzah.
No, it's the Brandeis. It's not the judges, is it?
Yep.
Okay. Oh, really?
Named after the, really
be a right. Formidable football team, the judges.
Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Bye-bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Vicki and Dan from San Francisco.
Hello.
Hi. We've got some of those Archie comic character names for
great.
You.
Great. Okay. What do you got?
We have Archie Andrews.
Yes.
We have Veronica Lodge.
It is Veronica Lodge.
We have Betty Cooper.
It is Betty Cooper.
And I think that's all we have. We had Cape Ivy, but you gave us the last guy.
Right. And he's not in the Jughead comic, the Archie comics anyway.
And just throwing out, it's not really a weed, but eucalyptus tree.
Well, that's what Lori thought. Yeah. It's not considered a weed,
list.
I suppose. Invasive, but not a weed.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye.
Good job. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. I have the Whittier Poet that got beat. But for... Thanks.
No, we gave you a bell anyway.
You.
Go ahead. Yeah.
How's the ice plant?
Well, God knows I had to plant enough of that when I was a kid. But no, it's not. I don't think it's considered an invasive weed.
How many weeds do we have left?
There's still thousands of
them. I don't know. David, do we have any weeds left on that list? Two. Okay, sorry. I'm sorry, we didn't hear you there.
Alytham?
Alytham? No.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you very much. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
My name is Barry.
Hello.
Calling from Bernal Heights in San Francisco. And I have an answer to the mascot question.
I bet you do.
And it's the Franklin and Marshall Diplomats.
Very good.
Named after the famous John Marshall and Ben Franklin. And I believe Swarthmore College is called the Little Quakers.
I think it used to be, but they just changed last year.
Well, let me tell you why, if I have a minute to take a
it's
a
up,
small
it's
question.
Up to data.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead.
Thank you. I played football for Franklin and Marshall College, and we played the Swarthmore
you're the one.
Quakers.
All right.
And we had a rooting section that followed us and very vocally, and lo and behold, in the huddle, we hear behind us, kill the Quakers, kill the Quakers. I can't tell you how inspirational that was, but thank you very much for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's inspiring to all of us.
And, Laura, do you have a quick question?
I do. All right, here's one. I'm going to give you a list of actors, and they all, they each have won the same award. Okay, they've won two different awards, and they've each won it. Let me tell you who they are. It's Halle Berry, Roberto Benigni, Liza Minnelli, and Laurence Olivier. Okay, they have all either been nominated or won two very different awards. What are they?
Okay, well, Benigni won an Oscar.
Well, and so,
Oh,
he also won probably.
One of them said he must be the Hasty Pudding Award.
Yes, they've all won the Hasty Pudding Award.
For the, right.
For the worst, and that's for the worst actor of the year.
Right. Right.
And the other half's easy. The other half is what Pauline's on. They've all been nominated or won Academy Awards.
Won Academy Awards,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they all won. Yeah.
All right. Okay. And let's go to a
very
call.
Quick.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, good evening, Seed. How are you?
Yeah, good.
A question. In this fish, the female is 40 times as big as the male. Do you know which fish it is?
Which fish?
Is 40 times the male. The female is 40 times
as big as the male.
Is the male. All right. Mm-hmm.
Let's leave it to the audience, if you can. This is an interesting question. The second question, what is the death cap? Death cap, C-A-P.
Right. That's a mushroom.
Days, I should mention it.
It's a mushroom.
It's a mushroom. And what is it called, the death cap?
Because it looks just like something else, but it's edible, but people touch it and they eat it.
You die.
Oh, the death
some
cap.
People at Kaiser Hospital, this weekend, family from Vietnam,
right.
They gather them and they eat it and they die.
It right. It destroys your liver.
It destroys the liver. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. You're on.
Hi, it's Maureen from Point Richmond.
Hi, Maureen.
Hi. I think a couple of the invasive plants might be Cortaderia celloana, pampas grass.
No, not according to our list anyway.
Okay, and how about Arundodonax?
And is that a better known as anything else?
Giant reed grass is one of the common names for it.
Yes, we're going to give you that.
All right, thank you.
Very thank you very good. Much.
Running out of weed.
I'm sorry?
Apparently not.
Pampas grass is no good either.
All right.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Pauline, do you have a very quick question you can throw in?
Yeah, sure. In this book, a boy named Marcus is taken to a prison on Treasure Island in San Francisco after a terrorist attack occurs and the Bay Bridge is blown up. Which book, and what's the name of the book and the author?
Mark? This is not the dragon. He doesn't escape on a dragon or anything, right?
It's a this is also a children's book.
Also a children's
book. Well, an older children's book, by
right.
the way.
Exactly. Yes, with those themes.
All right. A tween sort of book.
A tween book.
Right.
Betwixt and between.
I have no
idea.
Written since my kids were probably reading those.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello?
Hi.
Hi, you're on.
Yeah. I've been listening. I've had some phone calls. This is James in Berkeley.
Hi, James.
And so I'm not sure exactly what's left. Are there any noxious weeds left?
There's always room for
weeds. We've all been named.
We have two left still.
Okay.
Two?
How about
one left. All right. One or two, anyway. Go
but
ahead.
More are creeping in all the time.
All right.
How about oxalis?
Oxalis.
That one's been mentioned. That was
already said, and that actually is correct, but
okay.
Somebody got it before you.
Then how about star thistle?
No.
And burr clover?
No.
None of those guys.
Sorry.
Okay. Were there some song lyrics maybe left? Or maybe those weren't song lyrics. I heard that.
We didn't do song
lyrics. There are no song. There's last lines of novels.
Oh, okay.
And a song about which Beatles song gave Ringo a co-writing credit for the first time, but nobody has been singing anything here.
All right. Well, I just managed to confuse myself. Thank you very much.
I do that all
Thank
the time.
Thank you for calling, though.
And good night.
All right.
That's what we aim to do.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi, this is Allie from Mr. Fisher's class.
Hey, Allie.
Hey, I just wanted to make a guess. I don't know if anybody called in and guessed on which major city doesn't have a grocery store.
Or a supermarket. No, they have grocery stores. Right.
Okay, is it Detroit?
It is Detroit.
Very
yes.
good. Way to go, Allie.
Very good.
How'd you know that?
Yay! All right, Fish, you owe me.
I do. I'm afraid I do.
All right. See you Tuesday.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yes, Detroit is the only major American city that does not have a major supermarket within the city limits.
Ever.
It did at one point,
did,
but now, no, not
wow.
anymore.
Wow, that's amazing.
So, and next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
This is Sharon from the Richmond District.
Hi, Sharon.
Three invasive weeds. Could it be wild radish?
Wild radish? David, are you listening? Wait a minute. Well, we're going to write this down. Wild radish. Go ahead.
Wild mustard. And the last one is pepperweed.
Pepperweed?
Yeah.
Pepperweed. Okay. We can't give you an answer right away because our answers are in the other room, but we'll stay tuned. So we have wild radish, wild mustard, or temperweed. Wild radish is correct, right. Caller. Thank you very much.
That's it.
Good job.
We've done thorough weeding.
Did we get them all now?
We have named
all right,
weed.
We have named them all, and you had the honor of getting the last one.
Way to go.
And next call. Hi, you're on. Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, hi. I'm Robin from San Francisco.
Hello.
And I'd like to try a guess for the boy and the dragon.
Oh, yes.
Is it Aragorn?
It's not Aragorn, but it's... Well, actually, Aragorn is part of a series. What's the series?
I don't know.
You don't know the name? Because I'm pretty sure that Aragorn is actually one of the series.
So he's partially
who's,
right.
Who's the bi?
What?
Who's the author of Aragorn?
Paolini, maybe?
Christopher Paolini, absolutely
good
right.
Job.
And the full cycle is called The Inheritance Cycle because it's in all three books. Good.
We'll give you credit then.
And then has the last name of Reggie from the Archie comics been answered yet?
Still out there. What do you got?
Reggie Mantle.
Reggie Mantle is it.
Good job.
No relation to Mickey, I might add. Nice work. And the last one left there is the Jughead one.
Okay.
Well, I don't know his real first name, but I know his last name.
Go ahead.
Is it Jones?
It is. It's Jughead Jones.
Yeah.
Nice. Good work.
The first name I don't have.
Thanks a lot.
Good work.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
And next,
thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is George Nelsarito.
Hi, George.
I want to give the Beatles song a guess. Is it Act Naturally?
It's not. Yeah, I don't think they wrote that at all. I think a country and western singer wrote that.
Yeah, I believe
you're right. Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh.
He sang it.
All righty. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Am I on?
You are on.
Oh, hi. I know you've heard Paolini's books, but what about My Father's Dragon for the boy on the back of the dragon?
No, actually, that one was from the Inheritance Cycle by Christopher Paolini for the Dragon one.
Okay, so they're not you're not counting more series of books about boys on the backs of dragons?
Actually, I think I was supposed to specify that the dragon's name was Saphira, which I didn't, but, sorry.
Well, My Father's Dragon and the Dragon
yeah, I've got the book, My Father's
is
Dragon.
A great series mm-hmm. for younger people. With,
right.
And Elmer and the Dragon.
I've got that one, all
right.
too.
By Gannett.
Yes, they are all great.
And he rides very happily on the back of it.
Thank you very much.
But it's from 1950, so it's right. a little bit old.
No, I have those.
All
I
right.
have those in my classroom.
Thank you. We appreciate the call.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. And then one more call, I think. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is David from Berkeley again with the last line.
Okay.
The Run, Run, Run one was from Rabbit Run by John Updike.
It really is. Nice work. Runs, Runs is Rabbit Run.
Indeed. Thank you so much.
Nice work. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Time to clean up. What do we got?
We have the first Beatles song to give Ringo a writing credit was What Goes On in Your Heart. Our Jughead's first name is Forsyth. He actually had the fanciest of the first names. The non-aggressive mascots that are left it's the Vassar Brewers. Swarthmore has just changed their name to the Phoenix. And Colby College White Mules. Oops. And then... Away, alone, alas, the loved, along the, is the last line of Finnegan's Wake.
I was on the right track.
You were,
I said
but I didn't want to tip it, and it loops to the first
right
sentence
there.
Of it.
All right.
The last sentence is the first sentence.
Pauline, anything?
Okay, yeah, El Cingan is Bob Dylan. You guys should have had that.
Yeah.
And the convention city is Denver, Colorado, and the boy, Marcus, et cetera, that's Little Brother by Cory Doctorow.
All right. And I have no questions left. If we didn't get your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight was Teacher Lori Fisher. Thank you very much, Lori.
Thank you, Dave.
Teacher Pauline Teichman. Thank you very much, Pauline. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to David LaTulipe for handling the board and phones. And if you enjoyed tonight, please join us next Sunday at 7 p.m. for more of the same. Okay, have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.
If you ain't got, you get. If it ain't gross, it's net. Gotta be this or that. If it ain't sis, you can't miss. It's got to be you, brother.